use online dating sites. We'll welcome your success stories and maybe your not-so-successful stories related to online dating this hour as we talk with a guest who met her spouse online. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 23rd. When my producers noticed our guest's recent blog on Psychology Today about how to be successful with online dating, I wasn't sure you would call in to talk about your experiences as an online dater. Prove me wrong. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Did you meet your spouse or partner online? How many online dates did it take? What experiences would you like to share? What made you decide to look online for love? And what is stopping you if you haven't looked for your match on a.com? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Loretta Bruning, a zoo docent and professor emerita of management at California State University, East Bay. She's a PhD and writes her own blog called Your Neurochemical Self on Psychology Today. And she also is the author of the book Meet Your Happy Chemicals. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks very much. Yes. Are you getting up super early for us? I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
So what motivated you to look online for love?
I don't like to go to bars. So I think that's the first thing. And also, meeting people at work, we all know, is complicated and uncomfortable and risky. So it was a new thing, and I think at the time it was not widespread, so maybe it felt safer.
Yeah, and this was back in the late 90s that you met your husband.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and you've been married ever since?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Yeah, so
it was just a short transitional thing that I had to do to find someone, and I'm glad I did. And I wouldn't want to make it a career forever. And I think it's nice that it's a simple way to get to know who's available.
Yeah, can you tell us? I mean, was it Match.com or Harmony? Were they even around?
Oh, ironically, it was Matchmaker.com, which I think is funny because Match.com was around, and I just chose because someone made a suggestion to me, and in the end, if my husband had chose the other one, you know, I wouldn't have met him.
So tell us what the experience was like. How did you know, walk us through it?
I think the very concept of dating is uncomfortable, and through most of human history, people didn't have to do it. People had somewhat restricted choices, and when they felt their first chemistry in their teen years, I think that, you know, they often got paired up and that was it. So it is an uncomfortable process, and I think I focused on that, and I kept telling myself that I'm older now, and I'm focused on my goal rather than feeling like I needed validation from someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it's sort of like job hunting, really, that you're looking for mutuality. So that's what I focused on, that I was looking for mutuality.
And your husband was the number one pick of the site itself, saying, here's your match?
Yes, that's so funny. It's just a computer algorithm. He lived in my zip code. He had the same degree, and he chose a lot of similar things on some of the major multiple-choice questions. And so there was an option to click and have the computer choose, and they would come up with a list of 10, and he always came up the first one on the list of 10. And I sort of, the first time I looked at his profile, I dismissed it because of the answer to one question that I didn't agree with. And then every time I would have some disappointment, and then I would go back and click it again, and he always came up first. So then I thought, gee, why am I dismissing him just because of that one question?
Because you wanted the perfect match, and that you're being picky.
Yes, no. I guess I was, but the thing that I didn't like about that answer, he instead of answering the question, he made a joke about something. And the way I see it now is I was reacting to the fact that he was making a joke about it rather than answering the question. Partly I was being picky, and partly I guess people's frailties, just learning to accept people's frailties, I think.
Yeah. So how do you best capture yourself and put your best foot forward online?
I learned that people don't, I saw that men didn't write a lot of personal disclosure, and they don't really want to hear all your deep psychological history. That was my perception anyway. Who knows? People vary, maybe, and you end up, if you put out something, you'll get the right person. So I wouldn't worry too much about shaping it, but it's not like you're talking to a therapist, you know? People are wanting to have fun with someone, so I think it's about being a happy person that wants to be happy with someone else.
Yeah. So you had the computer pick your husband as the number one choice. Was he the only one you dated from your possible matches?
No, but first I should mention that in addition to the list the computer came up with, you know, I could just look at anyone's profile and write to anyone, or they could write to me. So that was just some pre-sorting that you could use if you wanted.
Right.
But no, I would say, I mean, if you want, I heard you ask for numbers. I mean, I would say maybe about 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
The others just didn't work out. But I don't think maybe a couple of people I got to a second date with, mm-hmm. maybe. But he was the main one. He's, you know, I mean, in a way, it was lucky that, I mean, we really do have a lot in common. But, you know, I tell myself I had to wait till I was 44 to be lucky.
Yeah. And it's funny that the joke that he, or the, you know, the joke he was making when he answered a question that you didn't agree with, his sense of humor was something that drew you to him.
Yes, he's very, very funny. And what I wrote in the blog post was that I realized he used his humor in a way to not talk about things and to avoid subjects. So that was something that frustrated me later on. But again, maybe it's somewhat of a universal human trait.
Mm-hmm. We will get into the tips that you write about in your blog on how to be successful with online dating, and we will welcome questions and experiences from our listeners. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about online dating, and we are welcoming your questions for our guest. We're also welcoming your success stories, maybe your horror stories. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Loretta Bruning. She is a PhD. She writes her own blog called Your Neurochemical Self. In Psychology Today, she's the author of the book Meet Your Happy Chemical, and she wrote the blog post, I Met My Spouse Online and You Can Too, Three Ways to Manage the Online Dating Conundrum and Enjoy It. And you know, we have many callers already. Let me take some calls. Let's go to Akshat in Madison. I'm sorry, how do you pronounce your name?
Akshat.
Akshat. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. So, I'm glad that this came up this morning, mainly because I have very recently deleted all my online dating apps. I found myself very disillusioned in the system of online dating, largely because I think that, initially it was very convenient. I've lived in rather conservative places so far. I've spent some time in North Dakota and Minnesota, and now finally in Wisconsin. And as a gay man, it was convenient at first to know where, you know, other gay men are and how to meet them. But I think there was a discrepancy in expectations. Sometimes people just wanted to hook up rather than date. And in other cases, it turns out that you've already had all your entire conversation online, that when you meet up, there's no mystique left. There's no sense of romance left. You've already said everything, and it's just awkward and silent. And to me, the online system also robs away some of the nuances that happen when, I think I've forgotten what it's like to meet people. I don't think I ever know what it's like to meet people in real life anymore, because you've had this sort of synthetic online conversation.
Loretta, any response?
Yes, I wrote in the blog post. I know exactly what you mean, and I had sort of a deja vu about having that feeling when I was young, that everybody was either too this or not enough that. So the way you were saying it was either they were too rushing into intimacy when you met them, or not enough intimacy. So the way I got advice from someone when I was young, when I was having this frustration, and they said to me, it only takes one. So the idea of, like, you're expecting some exact perfect level of intimacy when you meet them, like not too much, not too little. And from my perspective, it seems, well, of course I'm right, because too much is awful and too little is awful. But when you think about it, it's so personal. And to find someone who has that exact level of expectation that makes you feel comfortable, it's really complicated. And we're asking for something very, very personal. So it's just sort of hard to define. So you could think of it as shopping in a way. But you could also decide that, like, I control that just right zone in the middle, and I can choose to widen that zone by choosing my own comfort with whatever is on both sides. And as I'm doing that, to say, you know what, I have control. This is my response to them, and I have control over it. That's
absolutely
a suggestion. Yeah.
And thank you, Akshat, for the call. So, what do you think, Loretta? Is online dating right for everyone? When does someone know if online dating is the right move for them?
Well, if you have alternative options, it's great. I'm not saying it's better than other things, but if you don't have a milieu where you could get introduced to people that are a match for you, then I think we're lucky to have it as an option. But I know there's been a lot of criticism that it makes people too picky, because it makes the shopping part so easy that no one is ever willing to deal with the reality of how hard it is for two people to mesh their lives on so many parameters that we all feel like, oh, but it must be that way, of course. So that's why I was focusing on the idea that I have a goal. You know, my goal is to have a partner. My goal is to be a good partner so that I could have a good partner, instead of focusing on the shopping part of it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the advice in your blog. The first tip, focus on the person you're with in each moment. So talk about why what you mean by that.
Well, everyone has dating horror stories, and they are very prominent in your mind because literally when your brain releases cortisol, the stress chemical, it literally connects your neurons. So your brain remembers bad experiences. That's how it works. And if it was a bad experience with a lion attacking you, then you would know, well, that's of course why I remembered it. But the stress chemical is released just when you feel uncomfortable, and your brain stores it as if a lion was attacking you. So all my past discomforts are going to be activated by the mammalian part of my brain. But I have the power to not focus on them and instead to say, this other person has taken the risk, has taken out time for me, put themselves on the line, and I can at least take an interest in them for that 1 hour that I've allotted or whatever the agreement was. And if they're interested in something that I just loathe, I can say, well, you know, this is my chance to understand why people are into that thing that I loathe. So just a way to make it fun for myself.
Let's go next to Tracy in Waupun. Hello, Tracy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what is your story?
My mom, she's 72, and she went online dating. She was looking for somebody just to do things with. You know, she's lonely, and she got caught up in one of those scams where, in the end, the guy ended up asking her for money. He had this big, you know, horrible disaster that happened, and he was going to meet her, but suddenly his wallet got stolen, and he didn't have any money, and he wanted her to send him money. And luckily, she called us kids, and we said, no, Mom, don't do that. And so now she's really, you know, heartbroken, and she wants to try it again. But do you have any advice on what would be a good site for her to go on, or, you know, some way to go about it where I'm worried about her getting caught up in a scam again?
Wow. I definitely understand why you'd be worried about it. When I pushed the button and had the computer make a match for me, one of the things was that my husband was in my zip code. So I think someone close by, I mean, again, you can't force it with too many parameters, but for me it was very important because I had kids to have someone close by. This is a stranger, so I would not have quick feelings of trust for a stranger. Definitely, I know that it's not just online dating, because charities, you know, fake charities call older people and tell you things and then you send them money. So it's not just dating. But does the big question, I think, does your mother realize that she was scammed, and is she a person who knows how to say no? Trust is the most complicated thing. My book talks a lot about it because it's a real neurochemical. Once we want to trust because it feels good. It's a happy chemical, but then we have pain when we trust someone who's not trustworthy. So it's really important to withhold your trust.
Well, you know, yeah, and I saw all the signs, you know, he was doing all the things that, you know, everybody wants to hear is, oh, he had money, his wife died, he had this horrible story, and he just sucked her in. And I'm like, Mom, you know, this sounds too good to be true. And she kept saying, don't be so negative, don't be so negative, you just don't want me to see anybody. And I'm like, no, Mom, that's not it. And then in the end, when it ended up being bad, you know, what do you say? I told you so. I couldn't say that to her.
Wow. Oh, this. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry for what happened.
It's so heartbreaking because it's all a classic situations. But the question really is, does she get talking about money too soon? I think that's the red flag. Anyone who talks about money too soon, no, no, no. But then again, some person might be the one, some listener might be the one who talks about money too soon.
I think it's not good. I know, that's what I tried to tell her, but I just wanted you to hear the story and see what advice that you had.
I mean, I suppose if she was on one of these, I don't know, reputable sites, there's a bunch of them that you could report the guy, but I'm not sure that does any good for her future situation.
Well, right, because he asked her to go offline right away and had her do an email. So, I mean, that was another big red flag, that he didn't want her to be online anymore and went to a separate email address.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. These red flags are real. Wow. Yeah. Very good.
Well, we'll talk more about successful online dating, and we'll welcome your questions. We'll welcome your experiences. Did you have success online dating or not so much? Our guest did. She met her husband online, and she's giving us some tips on how to have a more successful experience dating online. Loretta Bruning is a PhD. She writes her own blog called Your Neurochemical Self in Psychology Today. She's also the author of Meet Your Happy Chemicals. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This will be an everlasting love. This will be the one I've waited for. This will be. Our guest writes a blog on the Psychology Today website, and we are talking about her recent entry, I Met My Spouse Online, and You Can Too. And we welcome your thoughts and questions and your experiences with online dating at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 6:37 on this Wednesday, July 23rd. We are talking with Loretta Bruning. She is a zoo docent and professor emerita of management at California State University, East Bay. She is a PhD and writes her own blog called Your Neurochemical Self. She's also the author of the book Meet Your Chemicals. Is that right, Loretta? What's the name of your book?
Meet Your Happy Chemicals.
And
Happy Chemicals is dopamine, serotonin, endorphin, and oxytocin.
And they are the chemicals that make us happy when we're dating.
Yes, they are. And the amazing thing is that animals have the same happy chemicals, and they cause behaviors in animals that are very obvious and easy to understand that helps us understand our own impulses. And animals choose their mates in very complicated ways. These chemicals are part of it. Of course, there's sexual hormones. That's separate. But when you read about how it works in animals, then you have an idea of why our impulses are so different from our logic.
Mm-hmm. And why are our impulses so different than our logic?
Natural selection created a brain that only cares about reproduction. Now, most of us would say, well, I don't care about reproduction. That's fine. It's, you know, that's something you control cognitively. But even if you're no longer in your reproductive years, your brain only cares about things that would be relevant to reproduction in the state of nature. And when there's something, just a simple example is like protection. In the state of nature, if someone will protect you and protect your offspring, or even from a male point of view, males want protection, then that triggers your happy chemicals and it feels good. But when you see the slightest threat to your protection, it triggers cortisol and feels awful. So we're always having strong reactions that seem like, well, they must be true. And it's good to understand the animal origin of these reactions so we can weigh them slowly over time.
Mm-hmm. So how is the, I don't know, how are our neurochemicals any different or firing off any differently if we're meeting our potential partners online as opposed to, I don't know, at the bar?
Well, when you're putting your thoughts into words rather than chatting off the top of your head, I like that. Some people will hate that, but I thought, well, somebody has a chance to weigh their words, and then once you send the email, you're sort of committed. So I felt like it's sort of a good way to screen a person and just go with the responses that you like. And I think also in a bar, sort of a narrowed range of conversation, whereas online you could talk about, you'd steer the conversation more in directions that work for you.
Yeah. You know, well, we just heard from a caller before news time who was concerned about her elderly mother or her mother in her 70s who almost got swindled by somebody she met online. I wanted to get to the second tip in your blog. May not be specifically related to not getting swindled, but your second tip was to set boundaries. What does this look like? What do you mean by it?
Well, the one that came out of that call, absolutely don't talk about money. Anyone who starts being pushy about money, or in my personal opinion, they start being pushy about sex from the beginning, that's a boundary. Now, you may have your own boundaries, but the idea is to say, I am not willing to go to the next step with a person who presents themselves in this way or that way. The next step meaning from one email to a second email to a phone call to a coffee to a date, et cetera, et cetera. So you decide, and then if someone is not right, don't try to make it right. Every time something didn't work out for me, and some people didn't want me either, but I said, you know what, they didn't want me, but I reacted badly to that person because they weren't right for me, so I should let it go rather than trying to explain it away.
Mm-hmm. And the other tip was trust yourself. How do we trust ourselves in the online dating world?
Well, this was also funny in the phone call because the people around you are not going to agree with you, and they're all going to tell you, you know, either you know, in this case, it was funny because she liked the guy and everybody else didn't like him. Everybody else meaning her children in this case. But if you look at 100 people and the people around you find something wrong with all of them, then you have to say, it only takes one for me, and I have to choose my one, and I can never find someone that pleases everyone I know. And, of course, then the inverse is true for the person who's too picky and doesn't like it. Everyone that maybe the people around you may say, give them a chance, give them a chance. But if you feel, give her a chance, give her a chance. But if you feel like it's just not working for me, that comes first.
We are talking about online dating, and we are welcoming your questions for our guest. We're welcoming any success stories you might have, or maybe some horror stories related to online dating. Our guest met her husband online and wrote about her experience in her blog on Psychology Today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Here's an email from Valerie. I was in my early 30s and tired of the bar scene. As your guest said, meeting people at work can be awkward and or risky. I posted an ad on Craigslist, and I stated my love of the outdoors and horror movies. I also said that he must have a good sense of humor, or he would think I was mean. I received many replies that made me question my decision to post there. I did receive one email that sounded promising. Now we have been married for 2 years. Well, I guess all's well that ends well. I thought that was going somewhere totally different, and all of a sudden...
Me too.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't post an ad on Craigslist, but that's just me. That seems like not the way to go, but is that's acceptable in the online dating world?
Oh, okay, good point. Now, again, when I say that the person who gave me the good advice when I was young and they said it only takes one. Now, our impulse is to sort of look at the statistics and say, well, where is a good place that's going to work? And then any good place that's hot, that's popular, eventually is going to get overblown. So any answer that I would give to that question is going to change over time. And fortunately for me, I'm not up on the latest, you know. But we all know that Craigslist had some bad apples. And I do know that Craigslist took some steps to work on that. So partly it's trusting yourself to weed out the bad apples, understanding and accepting that there are bad apples and not trying to make them a fit in your mind. And also looking for other sites that are not like the popular thing, but more niche-y that other people aren't necessarily seeing as the hot thing. I don't want to mention any specific niche-y ones because they may not be for you or they may not be current, but you may have some subgroup that you like, and now everybody's getting into the act with their own sort of matchmaking sites.
We are talking with Loretta Bruning. She is a professor emerita of management at California State University, East Bay. She writes a blog on Psychology Today. And we are talking with her about her most recent entry on her blog, which is Your Neurochemical Self. And it is about meeting her husband online and three ways to manage the online dating conundrum and to enjoy doing it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We welcome your online dating story. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This will be an everlasting love. This will be the one I've waited for. This will be
I mentioned at the top of the hour that when I met my everlasting love, the internet wasn't even around. But we are talking about online dating and how to be successful at online dating. And we're welcoming your questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Loretta Bruning. She writes her own blog called Your Neurochemical Self in Psychology Today. And we're talking with her about her blog, about how she met her husband online. It was back in the late 90s, but she was successful online, and you can be too. Let's talk to Stephanie in Madison next. Hello, Stephanie.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to share that it is possible. I am currently with my partner, and we'll be together 2 years this August, and we met online. And I probably tried multiple sites. I did free, I did paid sites, and it probably took about a year until I found him. And I think the lessons that I really learned from that was it's a lot of work. You're basically marketing yourself, and who I envisioned myself to be with was not the person that I'm with right now. And I actually almost didn't end up giving him a call back to do a second date because I thought we could be friends, but I didn't see us getting into a relationship, but I can't see it any other way now. And so we've been living together over a year. We have a dog together. So it's just a lot of work. And I think callers should be ready to actually dive into. There's a difference between lonely and actually being ready to find somebody to spend the rest of your life with.
Wonderful. Thank you, Stephanie, and congratulations. I'm just wondering if how did you reconcile this is not what I envisioned my partner to be like or to look like or whatever the case may be to, hey, I'm living with him now?
Yeah, I think it was a series of bad dates where I thought through like emails and text and before even meeting in person, I thought, hey, this feels really good. And then I finally went on the date and it didn't jive, or I thought it went really well and he didn't give me a call back. So when I met my current partner, I was like, hey, I need to give this a second try because it may not happen on the first date, but the second date, I may feel, hey, I could see this going further.
Mm-hmm. Loretta, what's your response?
Oh, that was such a nice story. I totally agree. Just to sort of be open-minded. And the way I see it, you know, this word settling gets thrown around, but the way I see it is we have so many wants on our list, and you can't get every single one. Now, which wants we have to be flexible on and which we live with, sometimes you have to leave it to chance rather than think you can have this absolute precision. If you were shopping for something, you know, on Amazon and there were so many product choices, even then you'd say, oh, well, you know, let me just make a decision. I know that sounds crude, but otherwise you could just iterate forever.
Yeah. Well, do you agree that this is really hard work?
Oh, yes, it's true. I did. You spend a good amount of time and you have to be willing to invest it. And not just that, but to not get overdrawn into, like she said, she had some rejections, and I definitely had some rejections, and to just not focus on that, to go back and keep focusing on the positive. And I'm so happy, Joy, that we're not talking here about horror stories. It's so easy to tell your friends about the horror stories and then get focused on that, but it's really going back and putting a positive face on the new people that you might chat with and not thinking, oh, what's wrong with them? How can I find out what's wrong with them? But putting on the face of, I want to have a loving, caring, open relationship with someone, and who can I find to do that with?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you what you thought about a study that actually came out last year. But it suggested that 1 in 3 Americans now meet their spouses online, and those marriages, according to this study, are more satisfying and less likely to end in divorce than those that begin in the traditional offline venues. What's your reaction to that?
Oh, that's fascinating. That's good. I would be guessing, but my idea is when you don't meet your spouse online, you often do it through groups that you're in. Like, you know someone, they know someone. And often these groups, we're going along with a group. It takes a lot of compromise. And then in the end, like, you're with someone that doesn't fit your deeper self, but fits your sort of tribe, herd, troop self.
Let's take another call from Zach in Milwaukee. Hello, Zach.
Hi. Yes, my wife and I met online about 7 years ago. We've been married for 5, and we have 2 kids. So I would say we definitely fall in the success story column.
Well, that's excellent. How did that go?
We met on Match. She was still in school. I was out of school, but we just, I don't know if I really had a whole lot of trouble finding people. I mean, I remember having actually several successful dates even before I met my wife, you know, not people I ended up seeing, like, you know, more than 2 or 3 times. And I wasn't really looking for anything like long-term at the time. It was, I guess, not having any specific expectations kind of helped it, because then when something fell into my lap that was good, then I just kind of went with it. We just, it seemed to go very quickly. I think it's just we you know, connected on like a level about, you know, about the values and interests really quickly. And so the rest of it just kind of fell in place after that.
Well, another success story, Loretta.
It's so good to hear these success stories. But yeah, what he brings up some really good points. You know, there's a cliche about the difference between a politician who's good at campaigning versus a politician who's good at governing. So what he's focusing on is that once you have this partner, you're living together, it's like the governing part, the dating is the campaigning part, and that's what you want to keep your focus on. I'm going to be living with this person and having to share values and life choices, and does that happen in a relaxed, fluid way? And dating is supposed to be a practice for that, like you're choosing together how you're going to spend your time on the date, and are you comfortable with the way that works with the person, and you feel it right away.
Thanks very much, Zach, for the call. So any other just general advice that you might have, Loretta, based on your own experience and your knowledge of love and dating chemicals? So if somebody is thinking of online dating, what should they keep in mind?
Chemistry is such a unreliable thing. We all know the value it has, but to understand how unreliable it is, I was fortunate that, you know, with my current husband that I had quick chemistry with him, but I realized he reminds me of someone, like one of my first people that I was interested in, who frankly was unattainable for me at the time. And that locks into your brain because your brain is forming during puberty. And none of us like the idea that we're going around with an operating system created in puberty. But that is how the brain works. And that is a huge achievement because for other animals, your brain is formed by, like, at a very, very young age. So the fact that our brain is flexible for our first 20 years is a big achievement. But, you know, it leaves you with... Your neurochemistry is reacting to the person you would have chosen in high school, and it takes a lot of work to update that.
Yeah. Well, I think we're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you, Joy.
Loretta Bruning is a zoo docent and professor emerita of management at California State University, East Bay. She's a PhD and writes her own blog called Your Neurochemical Self. She is the author of the book, Meet Your Happy Chemicals, and we were talking with her today about her recent blog entry, I Met My Spouse Online and You Can Too, Three Ways to Manage the Online Dating Conundrum and Enjoy Doing It. We have posted that blog entry on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Justin Williams and to Robin Cherry for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We are going to talk with a couple of state lawmakers in this week's Common Core Big Question coming up after we check the latest news. And tomorrow at this time, we'll speak with the author of Living with ADHD. That's coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.